Shalom, אנחנו לומדים מתוך הספר.
Hello, we're studying from Kabbalah for the Student. The article is the Arvut. We are on item 19 on page 253. You're welcome to enter kab.tv where you can find the article as well as send us questions. Pertinent questions to the lesson will be aired during the lesson. So once again, Kabbalah for the Student, page 253, the Arvut, item 19. Rabbi Elazar, son of Rashbi, clarifies this concept of Arvut even further. It is not enough for him that all of Israel are responsible for one another, but the whole world is included in that Arvut. Indeed, there is no dispute here, for everyone admits that to begin with, it is enough to start with one nation for the observance of the Torah, for the beginning of the correction of the world. It was impossible to begin with all the nations at once, as they said that the Creator went with the Torah to every nation and tongue, and they did not want to receive it. In other words, they were immersed in the filth of self-love up to their necks. Some with adultery, some with robbery and murder, and so on, until it was impossible to conceive in those days to even ask if they agreed to retire from self-love. Therefore, the Creator did not find a nation or tongue qualified to receive the Torah except for the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whose ancestral merit reflected upon them. And as our sages said, the patriarchs observed that the whole Torah even before it was given. This means that because of the exaltedness of their souls, they had the ability to attain all the ways of the Creator with respect to the spirituality of the Torah, which stems from their dvekut without first needing the ladder of the practical part of the Torah, which they had no possibility of observing at all, as written in Matan Torah, item 16. Undoubtedly, both the physical purity and the mental exaltedness of our holy fathers greatly influenced their sons and their sons' sons, and their righteousness reflected upon that generation whose members all assumed that sublime work, and each and every one stated clearly, "We shall do and we shall hear." Because of that, we were chosen out of necessity to be a chosen people among all the nations. Hence, only the members of the Israeli nation were admitted into the required Arvut, and not the nations of the world at all, because they did not participate in it, and this is the plain reality. And how could Rabbi Elazar disagree with it?
He proposes a very special question here. If indeed the Reshimot from the shattering of the sin of the Tree of Knowledge awaken in certain people, this is called the ancestral merit, and these people awaken to spiritual work, to realize the Reshimot. Accordingly, they're willing to invest efforts and go against their nature, their will to receive, even in contrast to their nature, because the Reshimot that operate in them are opposite to the egoistic nature. So, these are special people. How could it be that the whole world will also be obligated to do the same work? Where does it come from? And then it turns out that after, or since we're all part of the same system, same mechanism. Even part of the people who do carry out the correction, because we all belong to the same system, other pieces of the broken kli also awaken, and thus everyone comes to the need for correction. And the need either comes up by the spiritual vessels, the reshimot, of what's called Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that awaken in their descendants, their spiritual descendants, or they awaken in other people, even coming from the corporeal linkage. Our world comes to such a point where some people start thinking, what's the point in life? And they don't have a choice but looking for how to correct the corporeal circumstances, and they see there's no fix, crisis after crisis, and then they begin to turn to Kabbalists. And hopefully this will happen soon and in our days. And then they learn the method from them for how to save themselves from troubles. So if within Kabbalists there are reshimot that drive them to become corrected for the purpose of creation, so there's a reshimot, a recollection that pulls them forward, the others have reshimot that push them from behind. But in any case, both realize the general correction. Questions? Yes.
I didn't understand what's this ancestral merit.
Ancestral merit is simply the reshimot, the recollections that awaken. That's it. What ancestors did Abraham have? Terach. Terach means the same Abraham before he discovered the spiritual state. That's how it is. We have to understand that generally, everything we're talking about is not exactly the personas. It's not per each and every body. We're talking about different reincarnations that happen within a person. You can say that what preceded Abraham was Reshimot from Adam Arishon to Noah, and then from Noah to Abraham. It doesn't matter. These are Reshimot, after all. It doesn't have to do with the corporeal ancestors. It's spiritual ancestors. And that simply means previous Reshimot.
So seemingly everyone comes from the same place, right?
No. There are different Reshimot from the shattering. What do you mean from the same source? We all come from the shattering of Adam Arishon, but Adam Arishon was a corrected kli that had different 10 sefirot in their height. And after the vessels broke, they fell and to the opposite form. And accordingly, they awaken. So you can say that it's actually the opposite, that the biggest vessels will only surface towards the end. And we, all the more so our spiritual ancestors, come from the purer vessels. That's why it's called Zchut Avot, from the word purity, Zakut.
How is this relevant to us? After all, we find ourselves here. We're not...
We find ourselves now in a state where we have to advertise the wisdom of Kabbalah, not just to the corporeal people of Israel, but to all nations, to everyone. And we see the support for this from many Kabbalists in previous generations, because it's about time that the system of Adam HaRishon entirely enters the correction. So what's the last generation? The last generation means that all the layers that haven't been corrected so far will become corrected. And due to that, there is pressure on the top layer called the nation of Israel to quickly correct itself and be what's called a light unto the nations. Show everyone how to achieve corrections.
He says that only the members of the Israeli nation entered into this necessary avut.
Right, that's what happened in the past so far, and from now on, all the rest will follow us.
Meaning the measurement is according to the avut?
Yes. The arvut means that power of connection that exists between people, making them a spiritual kli.
And what usage could be made in this?
Arvut? Arvut is the connection. Where there was shattering, now there's a connection above the shattering. And that connection is called arvut. I'm a guarantor for you, you are for me, and we make connections above the shattering, and that's called love covers all crimes.
So why, as much as we study, we don't discover more of a tendency towards arvut, but rather the opposite?
Because you gradually discover how much you reject others in order to overcome that gap. Sure. At first you don't see how far you are from others. You're indifferent, but not rejecting the others. You'll see greater and greater resistance in higher degrees, so that you want to burn your friends like the group of Rabbi Shimon. That's how it is. That's the correction. All right? Yes.
You said that the nations of the world are pushed by sufferings from behind, and Israel are pulled by the Rishimon ahead.
Right.
Where do they meet, Israel and the nations?
They meet in the Peh of the Rosh of the Partsuf. Israel is called Li Rosh, I am the head, and the nations of the world are the Guf, the body. And Israel need to plan the connection with the light that reforms, and the nations of the world receive that from Israel. From the Rosh, it spreads to the Guf. That's why they have a demand from us. Why do we don't correct ourselves and bring them the lights of correction and the lights of fulfillment? Because they cannot achieve that on their own. And therefore, the more we delay and don't perform the correction, anti-Semitism will grow, troubles will spread, and it will happen very unpleasantly. And if we don't yet understand it, we will have to do this under very difficult conditions.
Because we're noticing lately that what's going on, there was the biggest massacre yesterday in the United States.
Right. We should also show our sympathy to all our friends in the U.S. and all the American nation. And this is a horrible massacre. And it just indicates that all over the world, the same crisis, is increasing, and it won't stop. It will not stop. As much as they will invest whatever powers into that, soldiers, security, whatever, it will only grow. It will only grow. There's only one solution, the light that reforms. And it depends on Israel, and that's why eventually Americans too will start blaming Israel as the one to blame for scenarios like that. In Europe, they're doing that.
So it's just a matter of time before they start pointing their fingers at us.
Sure, the whole world will, without exceptions. If you'll ask about this in the UN, you will see the entire UN will vote that way. Why do these things happen? Because of Israel. Why? They don't know why. Just like that. That's how it is. They know it like that. Because from nature, they have this feeling, and you can't do anything against that feeling.
What can we do today to advance towards
Only to disseminate the wisdom of Kabbalah, even though we have a lot of opposers here in Israel. No choice, only that we have to do. Otherwise, it will be very bad very quickly.
Karati etmol al I read yesterday about a certain tick that entered Israel and it's taking over all the prickly pear, which is a certain cactus, and it's causing damage to the whole branch of agriculture because everything depends on everything, then also for the beef industry and a global crisis, and they can't find a way to stop this thing. Now, you're saying that the solution for the crisis are only the reforming light. Also here, is it the reforming light?
I don't know. Turn to the Faculty of Agriculture. What do you want from me? I don't know. It won't help, though, because instead of this trouble, you'll get a different trouble.
We explain that the reforming light is what going to solve all the problems?
Only.
How will the reforming light stop this tick?
I don't know. Just like the lack of light that reforms, awakens all of the pests. It will do the other way. Where do all these pests come from? Or certain people that are harmful, or the pests that harm the agriculture? Doesn't matter.
When we're talking about a crisis between people, we can understand.
You can't understand anything. I'm sorry. In your vision, you don't see anything. And you only get confused in trying to explain this or that, and you're not going to get anything out of that. You're just going to move from one trouble to another. With your rational logic, there's no more you can hear and research. To be truly rational, you need to decide that we cannot use the power and the mind that we have to stop the deterioration. Humanity entered a stage where it must begin to correct its nature. And nothing else will help you here. So instead of the pests, you'll have some other harmful factors.
The question is just towards our explanation outwards. We're saying that there's nothing to talk or to study it with our intellect, but outside, when they come to explain the correction, a person needs for it to settle in him logically what we need.
So you have to explain it bit by bit. First, have it settled in yourself, and then from your experience you'll be able to explain to others. All right, let's continue.
Item 20. But the end of the correction of the world will be by bringing all the people in the world under his work, as it is written, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall the Lord be one, and his name one. And the text specifies on that day and not before. And there are several more verses, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, and all the nations shall flow unto him. But the role of Israel towards the rest of the world resembles the role of our holy fathers towards the Israeli nation. Meaning, just as the righteousness of our fathers helped us develop and cleanse until we became worthy of receiving the Torah, were it not for our fathers who observed the Torah before it was given, we would certainly not be any better than the rest of the nations. Also, it is upon the Israeli nation to qualify itself and all the people of the world through Torah and mitzvot to develop until they take upon themselves that sublime work of the love of others, which is the ladder to the purpose of creation, which is dvekut with him. Thus, each and every mitzvah that each person from Israel performs in order to bring contentment to one's Maker, and not for any self-gratification, helps, to some extent, with the development of all the people of the world. This is because it is not done at once, but by slow, gradual development, until it increases to such a degree that it can bring all the people in the world to the desired purity. And this is what our sages call shifting the balance to virtue, meaning that the necessary weight of purity has been reached. And they compare it to weighing on a scale where the shifting of the balance is the attainment of the desired weight. Okay, well, it's clear that gradually Israel has to correct everything, and all the rest of the world has to accept these things ready, as we read in the Shofar of Messiah, and a handmaid's lady, maiden, Toronto.
Slava from Vancouver in the Toronto group. He's asking, what does it mean the Creator offered the Torah to all the people in the world?
That the Creator offered the Torah to the whole world. That's towards the shattered kli. It's not talking about some book of Torah and someone's walking around to publish it to everyone. We need to understand the language that's being used here, that is always spoken in such a manner, that we're talking about the will to receive that is broken to start with, especially in order to correct and attain the greatness of the Creator. This will to receive needs to take on itself the correction, and this is what it's talking about. So, of course, the upper light operates in general on the whole shattered desire, but only those parts that are closest to the light awaken. And behind them, more distant parts awaken that are more distant from the light. But only those parts that are illuminated from afar are called Yeshar Kel. They receive a certain inclination towards the light, to the creation. Although those parts that are so far, they can only get it like from afar, they get some kind of all mekif surrounding light. They're called the 99% of the whole desire. And only a small part that is very thin layer of the will to receive that is shattered is capable of awakening to this reforming light. Hence it's called Yashar Kel Israel. So the light shines with his light to the whole of the world, which is called to give the Torah to everyone. But who can awaken? Only those that are pure that can awaken to the light. Again, we want to always interpret what's written in all the books only as far as lights and kelim, and not in some tales and examples out there of stories. That's all nice and beautiful in order to emphasize something or make it tangible, but it's not the truth. Yes, Danny.
These vessels that awaken, why in terms of percentage there's a lot of awakening specifically in this geography, the corporeal land of Israel?
No, it's as a branch and root. There is nothing else other than that. That's a branch and root. There's the solar system and Earth and the sun and the moon. And upon Earth, that's how it works out. But no more than that. It's just as a branch and root.
Is it possible that there are Israelis, Jews living here in Israel that will never awaken? They'll be just part of the 99% at all times? Or they all have to awaken?
I think that after the shattering of the vessels, again I'm saying, and the incorporation of the vessels in each other, of all the shattered kilim together, whoever awakens, and it could be seemingly from the nations of the world that you don't even know who are from where. And it can be from those 10 tribes that disappeared, and who knows where they are. They say that there's 30 million Pakistanis that are one of the tribes. So no one knows. It will be clarified slowly through the incorporation of the shattered kilim. So very soon we will have the disclosure of the 10 tribes. Yes, that will be. But the bottom line is a gradual correction through the light shining on the kilim. The kilim have their personal work also. And that's how the correction happens. And that's why there's an obligation on Israel to sanctify themselves as fast as possible, and then the rest of the world.
Question about dissemination, okay. There's marketing strategist that is now advising us about how to reach people. He talks about two types of dissemination. One, that you're pushing your material to the people aggressively, trying to reach them, and the other is that you're trying to pull your audience to you. How do you see... he obviously talks about, you know, he says that pulling the audience towards you is better than going out.
How does he attract without going out to the public and pushing something to them? I don't understand how you can have one action without the other. I don't understand. You have to. The public is passive. They don't want anything. Even if they're sitting crying, maybe a normal crying or for nothing, it doesn't matter. But they won't come to you ever. Those that will come to you is from some small passive advertisement. Only those with a point in the heart will come. The broader public won't come. The question is, what can we do? We must advertise, nevertheless, to the broad public this social Torah that we have, the connection by which we strengthen and get to a better life or something good. That's what the general public needs, not their offering and the point in the heart and above that and everything. Just simply to be closer and more friendly to each other. That's what we need to explain to the general public. On the other hand, other than that, nothing will help us, only our dissemination. I don't expect the public to come. Only those sparks, those small sparks that are here and there, will an awaken will come. Yes, Chaim.
Can we get back to what happened in the U.S. yesterday for a second?
Yes.
My question is about the message, because the responses in the American society are very, you know, stormy, but there's a lot of division. For instance, someone senior on CBS wasn't ashamed to write on Twitter that she has no sympathy to the victims, because those who go to that kind of concerts are mostly Republicans anyway.
That bad, huh?
Yeah, she writes this on Twitter. So when you see such a society, what do you have left to say to them? Do we even need to turn to them, or just to serve as an example? How do we reach such people?
Look, the fact that we see very kind of examples that are seemingly from the liberal sides should explain to us how opposite the world is according to the definitions. Liberal, democratic, socialistic, and they're the biggest Nazis. The haters of people and they really don't care about anything except for to define and decide what they think. That's considered liberalism. Once I learned that was something completely different. Well, that's not to the points right now. What do we need? We need to identify with all the people who are suffering from this, the victims. We need to somehow encourage them. And again, in a nice way, but not without any pressure, to explain that everything depends on connection and that we need to learn what connection is, as it's the only thing that can bring a calm to the whole American society, which is right now in the form of modern Babylon. And just what Abraham wanted to do, which is love will cover transgression, all transgressions all over Babylon. That's what we need also to explain to them, that that's the only solution. Together with the fact that we are very sorry, and with that we need to explain that the solution is in connection. Actually, like Trump said, to make America one nation. Well, he said, but what's next?
Vilnius.
Friends, we're happy to update that 215 people are already registered from 24 countries. That includes New Zealand and the U.S. Eurocup.info, the convention site, is open in four languages: English, Russian, Lithuanian, and Latvian. Soon, we'll have sections in German and Spanish as well. 20 banners were made for Kabbalah.info and our social networks, and we will start placing them from today and advertise the convention to a broader circle who has an interest in Kabbalah as well. As for today, in the Congress preparation, about 100 people are already taking part, coming from completely different places in Russia, Ukraine, North America, and Israel. Everyone's clear that this convention can be done only together, through our mutual guarantee and our mutual restore. It really feels like there's great support from the whole world, Kli. Everyone is sending us short clips showing their support and participation. The registration is increasing, and we are full of forces, full of power, and we want to share that with you. We're all working together. Thank you all very much, and we're continuing full force with the registration and the preparation. We're embracing all of you. We love you all very much. We're expecting to see all of you. L'chaim.
L'chaim, Vilnius.
Yes.
All right, I'd like to update about the events we're going to have soon. The Eve of Sukkot starts on Wednesday. We're going to have a regular morning lesson from 3 to 6 a.m. Then we'll have a lesson at 1:15 p.m. And then we'll have a meal afterwards at 3 p.m. with all the community. And then on Thursday, which is already Sukkot, we'll have a preparation for the lesson at 3:45 a.m. And from 4 to 7, there's 3 hours in the lesson hall. Then we'll have a gathering with the parents and the children. And then we'll have a meal in the Sukkah. And then at 2:45 p.m., we're going to have a lesson until 6 p.m. in the lesson hall, and right after that, a meal with the whole community on the roof in the Sukkah. And we'll mention also that you can always see the BB schedule in Sviva Tova, KabbalahGroup.info. We'll give you more updates soon. The daily task. All right, friends, we were on duty with Toronto, 12 number 12, 12 number 10 from Petah Tikva, the Dnepropetrovsk group, the virtual group of Russia, and the Köln-Düsseldorf group. Our daily task that we're going to take as very important today is to clarify and attain what it means to intensify the greatness of the friend. How are we doing this in practice in the 10 today? Again, what does it mean to intensify the greatness of the friend? How do we do this in practice in today in our 10s? Announcement before we conclude the Zohar lesson. You're all invited to join the Zohar lesson, 6:15 p.m. Preparation starts. Live broadcast with Rob Lightman. Thanks to all our TV viewers and have a good day. The Kabbalah Convention in Lithuania, November 3rd through the 5th. We're going to have the convention registration on Eurocup.info. And let's sing a song together.
ונקודות שם נפגשות במרכז העיגול יש חיים ללא גבול הטבע חוק ההרמוניה של חיבור מתעשת
משתגל בעיגולים ללא גבולות כמו תווים ומנגינות ונגלה הכל אחד מתעגל בעיגולים ללא גבולות כמו תווים ומנגינות ונחזור להיות אחד זכינו לחיות בדורנו כשאור אהבה מקיף אותנו יישא אותנו על כנפי החסד והשמחה תנהר כאשת בתוך הלב צבעי הקשת והאדם יהיה Yeah.